Yeah. I thought I'd use a wagon wheel. Oh. Okay. I could feel one coming on. Maureen says, this is, that didn't look too good. The camera comes on and you're yawning. It's like, boy, it's going to be a sleeper. Okay. I don't know, maybe sometimes I just do things. Maybe I should ask on this one. Okay, next week we got the last one of these. I don't have everybody. So next week will be the last one, last study in this session. But if we have a film and stuff on Friday night, is that too much in 1 week? Do you want to skip Wednesday and do Friday, or I don't know which one. Okay. Silence is golden. Or chicken. Okay. Okay, so we are looking at lesson number 13 here. And Winning God's Applause, that's entitled the whole series. But want to be on God's good side, all right? And so we're looking at 2 Samuel 19 on through 1 Kings 2. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a nice sunny day. Thank you, Lord, for opportunity to come and study your word here tonight. Pray for those that are not feeling well, for Mark as he's getting over this cold, and others that may not be feeling well. Pray you'll continue to strengthen them as you guide us in our study here tonight. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so our last time together, we saw that Absalom had tried to basically run David out of town and make himself king. And he had people that were on his side. They end up having a battle. His side lost. And Absalom lost too. I don't think anybody here would probably have that problem, but he had must have had quite a hairdo. Because it got caught in the tree and a donkey ran out from underneath him, and so he's swinging from his locks, and Joab took him out. Thought, okay, if you live, you're just going to cause Dad more trouble, so we're just going to bring an end to this. And and so Absalom died. David is brokenhearted over this. I mean, he had asked the people or the fellows, the soldiers, to deal with the young man gently. Well, that didn't happen. So, and he's just continually weeping and mourning. And I don't know if I didn't bring anything with me here now, but they and some people would say, you know, they don't agree with it, but the stages of mourning, anger, all kinds of different stages. And sometimes people kind of get stuck in one. They can't really seem to move on. And there's no time limit for any of these, but things after a while ought to be getting a little bit better. apparently it wasn't for David, and Joab kind of gives David a talking to and said, you know, you got guys that went out to do battle for you, and they're on your side, but you're making it like what they did was wrong, and if you want them to stick with you, you better get up and start acting like the king again. So he kind of pulls it together, and apparently they were having trouble with unity. They had, many years before this, brought the northern tribes and the southern tribes, and they were united. Well, the northern tribes are getting a little bit shaky here. And tells us here that the Benjaminites, okay? Who do you remember was from the tribe of Benjamin? Saul, okay? So Saul was what do you call the guy that's out in front of the band? Is it the band major? Drum major, okay? So, Saul was putting Benjamin on the map, and now David's taking his place. And so they got a bit of a beef with David, and that apparently lasted for a while. But they finally come to David and seek his forgiveness, okay? And that takes some godly guts, if you will, to come to a person and admit that what you were doing was wrong and ask for forgiveness. And yet we see here David grants them that forgiveness. He didn't carry a grudge, you know, but we see here he sets a good example in this matter of forgiveness. And this is, you know, we see this a number of times in the New Testament, but here we see it acted out in David's life. And he says he obeys one of Jesus' commands, okay? It wasn't down in writing yet, but he knew it was the right thing to do. And it says there in Luke 17, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Okay? And so somebody does something mean and rotten to you, you have the right thing to do would be to call them on it. Okay? And if they repent, they acknowledge what they did was wrong, God wants us to forgive them and kind of move on. And so David had a forgiving heart, but not everybody felt that way towards him. A good part of Israel weren't happy with David about this time, you know. I mean, he's been in power for a long time. And apparently the poll takers are saying his numbers are going down, okay? And the thing is, you can try to do right, but it doesn't mean that everybody's going to love you, okay? Sometimes that's hard to deal with, you know. But we see here that David was choosing to do the right thing. And he had a forgiving heart. He talks this is a number of chapters he's covering here in this lesson. But he talks about in chapter 20, Sheba was a Benjaminite, and he was rebelling against David. And we see here that Joab, his kind of number one captain or general or whatever, he was the head of the military, goes out and they defeat Sheba. And that's a little different than what we're able to do today, okay? David could eliminate the opposition party, if you will. We got some now trying to put one of them in jail, but he could take his enemies out We can't do that, all right? So what are we supposed to do with our enemies? What are we told to do with our enemies? Love them. That's a hard one, isn't it? You know? and every situation's different, but something happened there somewhere, okay, on one side or the other, that caused people to turn against you. Maybe it wasn't anything you did wrong. Sometimes people take things wrong. I've had that happen. I'm kind of joking around, and they didn't see it as a joke. So I don't know if they got enemies over it, but, they're going to be around a while. And sometimes it's in the family. Maybe it's, unfortunately, a brother or sister. Maybe it's somebody you work with, kind of makes life miserable for you. But forgiveness takes a part in that. Now, this is a bit off from the lesson here, but does a person have to ask for forgiveness for you to forgive them? No. And you're going to run across some people, if you haven't already, that till probably their dying day would never ask for forgiveness. They think they're right all the time, and they would never admit that they did anything wrong. But what happens when, there's been some kind of a little explosion or smoldering or something's going on, and maybe it's pretty clear that they did something wrong, but they won't ask for forgiveness. And if we choose not to forgive, what happens to us? Rot your bones. Rot your bones, yeah. Yeah, it eats away at you from the inside out. You know, they could maybe care less whether you ever forgive them or not, you know. But it's eating away at you. And it can cause you to become angry and bitter, not just towards them, but it kind of overflows into other people's lives. You know, maybe you're taking it out on your husband or your wife or your kids or something else because of what somebody else did. You know, so forgiveness is really the right route to go. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, you gotta pray, Lord, help me forgive this person. Okay, and that would be great if that's all you had to do was a one-time deal. But it might rear its ugly head again and again, and you have to keep asking the Lord, help me to forgive him, okay? Because, again, sometimes these people don't just go away. You're running into them on a regular basis. We see here there was another fellow that ends up getting eliminated. Goliath's brother, okay? I used to joke about that. Remember, I don't know if they had it up here or not, but when I was a kid, they used to have Wonder Bread. Build your body 12 ways. And I used to joke, no, it just builds one straight up, you know. Anyway, he must have been taking the same kind of vitamins, had the same DNA, because his brother was a big guy too. Said his spear was like a weaver's beam. Okay? I mean, we're talking a big chunk of wood with a spear on the end of it. You know, if there wasn't a spear and he threw that thing at you, it's like hurling a telephone pole. You're going to be in big trouble. Okay? Well, anyway, somebody took him out. Another Philistine. Mark it up there. Okay? So somewhere, and he doesn't talk about this in here, but David made a bad decision. It seemed like that popped up in a discussion here the other day. David, do you remember what that was? You would have had to read all these chapters to know that. But he chose to number the people. Okay. What was wrong with that? What's wrong with knowing how many people are around? Chris?
Well, they're putting their faith in the strength and numbers of their army instead of in the Most High God.
Yeah. God didn't want them dependent on, you know, like I said, who's got the biggest army, who's got the most horses, or anything else. It's he wanted, and okay, so David has Joab, he gets all the dirty work. He has him go out, and I'm sure he had help. They go around all around the country, and they number the people, okay? And it takes them 9 months and 20 days. So it's almost 10 months out of somebody's life. It's like, oh, I want those 10 months back. and finally, David realizes that he sinned in doing so. I found it kind of interesting. Okay, it takes him 9 months plus with Bathsheba, the baby's born, before he realizes what he did was wrong. Here he's got 9 months plus a few days before he realizes that he'd done something wrong. It's like, wow. This guy's slow to catch on. He's the king, all right? Okay, so God gives him a choice. I don't know which one you'd choose. Well, 7 years of famine. That's a long time. 3 months fleeing your enemies, having your enemies chase you about for 3 months. Or 3 days of pestilence. Well, looks like he chose the 3 days. How many people died? 70,000 people died. I don't know how many they counted. Okay. All right. This is last week. But, okay, with Absalom, and they had that war with them, 20,000 died. Here, 70,000 died. All right? So, my little sin's not going to hurt anybody. 90,000 people die. Wow. Yeah, now that's not to say, you know, that's what's going to happen if you choose to sin, but there are consequences, and it doesn't just affect your life. There had to be an awful lot of innocent people out there that for whatever reason died, okay? And, yeah, wow. So I guess that ought to be a bit of a motivation for us to try to live a sin-free life as much as possible. Okay, so, all right, David decides to buy this threshing floor. And what does he want to do? What does he want to buy that threshing floor for? Going to have an altar, going to make sacrifices. And the guy wants to give it to him. I mean, it's the king, right? Well, I'll just give it to you, all right? Why didn't David want it as a gift? Would it be any sacrifice on his part if somebody gave it to him? I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, but when I was a little guy, my dad didn't go to church. My mom and I did. But, and I think it was my dad that was giving me the money, but he would give me a few coins to put in the offering. You know, well, that wasn't my money. I wasn't shaking out my piggy bank to get money, you know. And I was a rotten little kid once in a while. I used to walk home from, I'd go to Sunday school, and then I'd walk home. My mom would stay for church. And I had to walk by this store, and they had penny candy. So sometimes I was taking my offering and buying candy with it. Whoa. Bad choices. Yeah. Lord straightened me out, but I don't think it happened very many times, but it was a real temptation. Now you got to go in there with a fistful of dollars if you want a candy bar. Oh, so he buys this threshing floor so he can build this place to sacrifice and thank the Lord for, you know, how he's caring for him. What does that threshing floor end up being X number of years down the road? Chris?
Yeah, where they kept the Ark of the Covenant and the temple there.
Yeah, it's where Solomon built the temple. And, so that was, you know, David paid for it, but ultimately God used that in a great way. It's getting, time's moving on. David's getting old, and looks like he's about ready to leave this old world. Who's next? Remember how many sons he had? Yeah, like 19 sons. That means 18 are going to get their nose out of joint, right? Because they didn't get picked. Well, maybe they just knew from the beginning. It was a pecking order. And if you're down a few rungs, you know, not much chance. Okay, so Adonijah apparently is the next one in line since Absalom's out of the way. But that wasn't God's choice. But that didn't seem to bother Adonijah. He kind of begins to throw his own little celebration party and had people with him and everything else. Some of the, one of the priests and military leaders and so on were with him. But apparently David and Bathsheba had been talking about this for a while, and they'd planned on Solomon being the king. And so even though this party's going on, Adonijah's declared himself king, they bring people in to David, and we've got Nathan the prophet and some other people there, and they said, Solomon's going to be the king. And so they take him, they anoint him, and they blow the trumpets. Apparently Adonijah didn't have any trumpets to blow, because when they heard these trumpets blow, they knew that somebody else had been anointed as the king. And, Adonijah's in a tough spot about this point. Yeah, you know, he doesn't know if Solomon's going to take him out. I mean, that was kind of the way they operated back then. You eliminated your competition, all right? And but David ends up dying, and Solomon takes over. He's willing to forgive Adonijah, and are able to move ahead here. But it talks about David sleeping, okay? I think you're familiar with that. With New Testament, as it talks about that, for believers, you know, we die, we're sleeping. We're not just dead, okay? Because we're going to awaken again, all right? At the rapture, we're alarms going off, we're up and out of here, okay? That'll be the day that even the sleepyheads get moving, all right? And so David had reigned for 40 years, okay? That's a long time. No, I won't even, I can imagine if he wouldn't last 40 years, but, you know. But there were other kings. They had good kings. They had bad kings. Sometimes the bad ones lasted 40 years. And it was tough on everybody. But David, you know, was a man used of the Lord. I mean, he sinned, okay? He's, as we saw, horrendous sins. A lot of people died as a result of some of his bad choices. But nevertheless, we see here God continued to use him. One is that he would admit his sin. Now, we got seemingly a 9-month delay before the light comes on. But when he finally realizes what he did was wrong, he repents and gets things right between him and the Lord. And the other thing that they mention here is the fact that even though Solomon ends up being a great king, David had one up on him when it come to that too, because David didn't ever worship any false gods. And remember, that's one of the weak links with Solomon, as he was getting all these wives and concubines and from wherever, and they were bringing their gods with them. And, you know, keep mama happy. He's down there worshiping with some of these false gods along with him. And but it tells here, he says, Paul mentions him there in Acts 13:22. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and shall fulfill all my will. And, you know, aren't you glad that God doesn't use a 3-strike rule? 3 sins and you're out. Or you lose your salvation, as some would say, or just that you're not usable. You know, you messed up too many times here. But again, that's not to say, well, as long as I repent, as long as I turn around and get, you know, apologize afterwards. How's that saying go now? It's easier to apologize than ask permission. Yeah, that's probably not a good thing to live by, all right? If somebody's not going to give you permission, it very likely is wrong, all right? And just apologize, oh, I can apologize later. No, you know, God wants us to want to do the right thing the first time around, not just sin and try to see if we can't cover our tracks afterwards. So we're going to look here next time about 3 requirements that sinners can win God's applause. You see the first one there at the bottom of the page. We'll save that till next week, a bit about the need to repent, okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the way that you chose to continue to use David. Pray that you might continue to choose to use us as we stumble through life and make bad decisions and unfortunately sin. And help us to, as we just touch on here today, to be willing to repent, to turn from our sin and get back in a right relationship with you. Help us not to have that 9-month delay before we set up, pay attention, and realize that what we did was wrong. We can respond a lot quicker than that. And we thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.